Now we're holding on Nun Zion Omid Bey's three lines from the bottom. We talked yesterday about, now in our Mishnah, we had cases where a person has to, in our Mishnah and in a later Mishnah in our Perek, we're going to have cases where a person shaves at the end, where a person shaves because he was a Nazir, even though there's a Suffolk. In our Mishnah, we have the case where you have two Nazirim, one of them is Tamei, but not the other, we just don't know which one is which. And we said, on the face of it, both of them shave, both at the end of 30 days and at the end of 60 days, and that creates the problem on the face of it, because one of them is shaving one time, where it's not, he's not accomplishing a mitzvah, and he's shaving his pants. Later on in the parak, we have the case where a person is suffolk tamei, mes, and suffolk mitzvah, and he winds up having to shave four times, and again, you have the same question where he's shaving because of a suffolk. So how does that work? So we started talking about yesterday the possibility that maybe hakofas kol rosh, maybe we would say that shaving the entire head, payas included, is not being over on that isser, because maybe the isser is only to round the corners of the head, meaning to shave off the payas and leave the rest of the hair alone. So therefore, when a nazir shaves everything, payas included, maybe it wouldn't earn room. But Soda does the same thing. Maybe that wouldn't be an issue, and therefore he'd be able to do it even because of suffering. So now the Gemara says, Lema hakofes kol rosh tanoi. Should we say that this question of whether hakofes kol rosh is considered hakofa, should we say that it's in fact a machlokes tanoi? The Tana Rabbanan, because we have a brisa that starts out, we had a lot of what we're going to learn in these brisas and in this sugya is going to recapitulate what material that we already discussed on Daf Mem, Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, where we had the whole discussion about the Mitzvah shaving and the Nazir shaving and why we have the various words by the Mitzvah. So some of it is gonna cover that same ground again, but now we're gonna focus on this matter of Akofas Kol Rosh as it relates to that. So now, by the Mitzvah, the Pasuk says that again, as we learned before, a Mitzvah goes through many stages in becoming Tahor. One of the stages is that after the Kohen does the thing with the two birds and the water and the rest of that, so he shaves, then he counts 7 days, and then after the 7 days, he shaves again, and the next day he brings his korbanos. So now, the Pasuk says that second shaving, he should shave, the Pasuk says, as kol sa'orei, all his hair, as yoshev, as ganev, as gabes einav, his head, his beard, and his eyebrows, as kol sa'orei yigaleach, and all the rest of his hair as well, which that's a classic example, by the way, of a klal, a prophet klal, and that means not just those things, it's any place else on his head, any place else on his body where there's a collection of visible hair. Anyway, and then again, many tovels, and brings his korbanos the next day. So why does it need to mention these individual collections of hair on the body? Why does it need to mention his head and his beard? Once it says all the hair on his body, then automatically it would include those. So the Braisa says, Roshay Matam Adlaimar. Why does it mention separately Roshay, his head? So the Fisha Namal is Akifu Pas Roshkem. Since the Pasuk says you're not allowed to round the corners of your head, meaning that you're not allowed to shave your payas, Yochalach Mitzurda Kane, you would think the same thing is true of a Mitzurda, Tamad Lama Roshay. Therefore, the Pasuk tells you Roshay and tells you, therefore, that, so without the Pasuk Roshay, you would have thought, so maybe he shouldn't shave his hair, maybe the hair of his head, maybe he'll shave the hair on the rest of his body, and be mekayim the mitzvah that way, is how the Rosh explains it. Or Tosfos says that you would think that maybe after all, you would say that you taka don't need a pasuk to override that voice, but you would say since hakafas kol rosh shmo hakafa, that it is considered to be over on that mitzvah if you shave the entire head, or shmo hakafas kol rosh ain't lo shmo hakafa rather, so maybe then the mitzvah should be shaving everything together rather than the other way around. So therefore, the Pasuk is telling you, by telling you the word Roshay, the Pasuk is telling you that's not going to matter, regardless whether you do that or not. Either way, you're going to be over on the Isser of shaving your payas, but in this case, it's Mutter because you're a Mitzvah. So that's why it says Roshay. The Tanya Idach, Now, another braisa says, Roshay Matam Ablaimar. What is the pasuk adding by the word Roshay? What is it coming to teach us? Lefisha Nema Gabi Nazir. Because on the other hand, by a Nazir, you have the pasuk Tar Lo Yavar Roshay, that a razor should not pass over his head. Yochalak Nazir Metzora Kain. You would think the same is true as far as a Nazir who is also a Metzora, that he's not allowed to shave either when he finishes with his tzaras. Tamid Lomer Roshay, and therefore the pasuk says Roshay, and tells us, in other words, that overrides that. So even though normally a nazir is not allowed to shave his hair, but he is not allowed to shave the hair of his head, but here we make an exception and say that he is allowed to. So you have two. So again, in short, you have two different braises telling you why it needs to say roshay. One focusing on a regular yid who's not allowed to shave his hair, and the other one focusing on a nazir metzora who also is normally not allowed to shave his hair. So my love tonight. So shouldn't we say then that these two braises, the two different views of these braises, represent tanoim? There are two different opinions of tanoim. Lamanda omami nazir, the one who says that you learn from nazir, that it's overriding even the lav and the esse of a nazir. Now normally we know an esse is only doicha lois esse. Normally we know, as we're going to discuss further, for example, as far as kilayim and tzitzis, normally an esse is doicha lois esse, but not a lois esse and an esse. Here, as the Gemara is going to point out later on, we have an exception where even though a nazir has both a lois esse and an esse, not to shave his head, nevertheless, the mitzvah of shaving for mitzvah overrides that. So we're going to explain further in the Gemara why this is a special case. But anyway, so you would say the one braisa, the second braisa that's learning from Nazir, they hold that shaving the entire head is not being over on the mitzvah of Hakafa. So therefore, so if a person wasn't a Nazir, you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that he's allowed to shave, because when he shaves, he's not being over on any Isser. Therefore, that braisa would have to say, v'chi osakra l'midchi es loisa sev esse. So therefore, we only need the pasuk to tell us that in this one case, you can override a loisa se and an esse. So that would be the one braisa. The idach, meanwhile, the first braisa would say, Savra kafas kalor shma kafa. They would hold that it doesn't matter. Shaving the entire head is also being over on the Isser. So therefore, even forget about a nazir, even a regular yid who shaves for tzaras would be normally over on this Isser. B'chiyasakra. So the pasuk roshay comes, l'midchi lav greda. It comes to be overriding a plain lav where there's no other Isserim. And telling you the concept even that esse doicha lois esse, which in that case then the two braises would be disagreeing on the underlying machlokas would be about hakafas kolorosh or not. If you say hakafas kolorosh shma hakafa, then it means when a person does that he's also being over on the mitzvah of lois akifu, and therefore you'd need the word roisho to tell us that in this case it's not a problem. If you say hakafas kolorosh lo shma hakafa, then you would say for a regular yid there's not a problem, but there is a problem potentially for a nazir, because after all he's not allowed to shave any hair of his, and therefore the pasuk would be telling us that for him it's mutter. So then the two braisas are disagreeing on that point. But the Gemara says Omar Rava says not necessarily. Dekulei alma hakafas kolorosh lo shma hakafa. You could say that both braisas agree that hakafas kolorosh is not hakafa. So they both agree that shaving the entire head, payas and all, is not being over on the is not being over on the mitzvah. V'chi osakra kuvetshehikif alav seif gilach. The pasuk wants to tell you. Suppose the person did the hair cutting piecemeal. First he cut off the payas, then he ended up shaving the rest of the hair. So now, on the face of it, he was over on the lav, and now he went and shaved the rest of the hair. And kiven de ilu galche b'chadz, but nevertheless, you would say the pasuk might be telling you kiven de ilu galche b'chadz zimna loy mechayev. Now, if he had shaved everything together, he wouldn't be chayev, because then we would say hakafas kolorosh is not shma hakafa. So ki hikuf of seif gilach nami loy mechayev. You could argue then that even when he does it, that when he does it piecemeal like that, when he does first the payas and then the rest, Maybe you would say also that he's not over, that the Torah is telling you with the word Roshay, that even in that case it's not such a problem. So you could understand it that way, but in that case they would both be agreeing that Hakafas Kol Rosh Lo Shma Hakafa. But the Gemara asks, one second, the Mikos of Krahi, does the Pasuk write things like that? After all, in the case that you're describing, Rava, you didn't have to do it in that order. You didn't first have to shave the payas and then the rest. So how indeed can the Pasuk be implying that that would be okay and he hasn't been over on anything? Don't we have the rule that Rish Lakish said, which we've learned before, Kol Mokum Shata Motza Esav Aloiseseh, whenever you have an Eseh opposite Aloiseseh, so you have to be over, on the Aloiseseh in order to fulfill the Eseh. If actually the scenario is you could be Makayim both of them and not be over on anything, Mutav, then that's better, then that's how you should do that. If not, then the Esser should come and override the Loisesser. So for example, let's say one example of Esser Deucha Loisesser is Kilayim Betzitzis, which we're going to talk about soon. So if you have a choice in the matter, whether to put woolen, where you have a linen garment, for example, you have a choice whether to put woolen or linen tzitzis on it, then you should put linen tzitzis on it. That way, you're not over on any isser, and you're also mekayim the mitzvah. Only if the situation was such that there's no other way to do it, other than by being over the isser. For example, if you're wearing tzitzis that have tchelis in them, and tchelis of necessity is made out of wool, then you would have to be over on the loiseser in order to be mekayim the isser, because this is a linen garment. So in Rava's example, What are we saying? You have your choice in the matter. You could choose to shave the payas first and then shave the rest, or you could choose to shave all of the head together. And Rava, you're telling us that everybody agrees hakafas kol harosh shma hakafa, that if you start with if you do all the hair together. Or if you do all the hair and then the payas, whatever, then you're not over. Then in that case, why would the Torah be implying that if you did it the other way around, payas and then hair, then you'd be potter? That would go against Rish Lakish's rule. Since you have a way of doing it beheter, the Torah shouldn't be allowing you to do it beheter. So that doesn't work. Ella, so no. The Gemara says you're right. We're going to say that everybody agrees that Hakafas Kol Harosh is called Hakafa, and therefore, regardless whether he shaves the rest of the hair first or the payas first, either way, he's going to be over on the Isser. And nevertheless, the Torah is telling us that a regular Yid who's a Mitzorah, or a Nozer who's a Mitzorah, is allowed to do that. So why do we have two brises? Why do we have two different ways where one says Roshay applies to a regular Yid and the other says Roshay applies to the Nazir? So it would be like this, rather. So then it's like this. So the second brise is easy enough to understand. The first braisa therefore is saying that this is a classic example of Esa Deicha Lois Esa, and we have to learn that from Rosha. But Umand Mukim Lakra Lemidcha Lois Esa VeEsa. Now, what about though the second braisa who says that in this case the Esa of the Mitzorah shaving is overriding even the lav and the esser of a nozir, because after all, a lav has a lav and an esser. So according to him, lav grey, the benole, where would he know that a plain lav is overridden by an esser? You would say this particular case is an exception, that you're doicha even a lois esser and an esser, but where would he know the basic concept? In other words, if the first braisa, we would say, where does he know the concept of esser doicha lois esser? From Roshay. But the second braisa that is saying that only Roshe is referring to the special case of a Nazir who's also a Mitzorah. So according to him, where does he get the general idea of Esa Doichaloi Seseh? And the answer is Yalef Migdilim. He would learn it from the Pasuk Gedilim Tasalacha, where the Pasuk says you should wear tzitzis. The Omakra Lois Silver Shatnez. The Pasuk says that you can't wear shatnez, and then the next Pasuk says that you have to wear tzitzis. Vatanya, and we learn in a Braisa. Lois Silver Shatnez. So the Pasuk is implying don't wear shatnez. Hug Gedilim Tasalacha Mehem, implying, but with the next words, with the next pasuk being Gedilim Tasalacha, implying that you can make Gedilim, you can make tzitzis out of Kelayim. So there you go, Esedot Haloisese. Fine, we're still going to use Rish Lakish's rule that if you have a choice in the matter, you should avoid being Joich of Haloisese. So if you can wear, for example, on a linen garment, you can put exclusively linen tzitzis, let's say you don't have tchelis, then fine, you should do that. But if you have tchelis, and that, by definition, is wool, then you're going to have to wear kilayim with tzitzis, and the pasuk is telling you that shatnez and tzitzis are placed one next to the other, teaches us that you can do that. So that braisa then, the tana of that braisa then will say that we learn that in general, and now by the mitzvah, we don't need a pasuk to tell us that a regular mitzvah can shave and be over on lois akifu, because it's another example of esedot lois eser, and there's no alternative in the matter since he does need to shave all his hair. But the chiddush in the pasuk would be that even if he's a nazir and on top of that has the eser of growing his hair long, nevertheless it overrides it for him too. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Uman de Naftale Merosha, my time of Naftale Megdilim, nu, so the first Braisa then, so he could also learn from Gdilim. He doesn't need Rosha to tell us Esa Doichaloi Seseh, because we see the same thing by Gdilim, by Tzitzis. So why does he learn from that? Why does he need the word Rosha? The answer is Omaloch, because that Tana of the first Braisa is going to tell you that the Smichos of Gdilim to Kelayim is teaching us a different thing. L'chid Rava who da'asa, it actually comes to teach us Rava's Drasha. So meaning, in other words, Tosfos says, now, the point of the Gemara's question is according to that opinion, if we're going to say now, right now the Gemara is assuming that everybody agrees, HaKofas Kolorosh Shema HaKofa, that shaving the entire head, payas included, is also being over on the Loiseseh. So Tosfos says he would say you don't need a pasuk to tell us that. If the Torah is telling us that a person is chayev for shaving his payas without the rest of his hair, there's no logical reason to think that shaving the payas with the rest of the hair would be any more lenient. Obviously, the Torah is telling you to leave your payas off limits. So now the question is, according to them, what is the word roshay coming for? And the question is why they're not learning from tzitzis. And the answer is because they're learning from gedilim. They're learning a different din that Rava said. The Rava Rami, namely, Rava pointed out a contradiction between the psukim. K'siv v'nosnu al tzitzis hakonof. Now, one pasuk says in the parasha of tzitzis that we say every day, it says they should place on the fringe of the corner of the garment, they should place some tchelas. Now, the word hakonof is extra, because we just said before, earlier in the pasuk, it says the dabra b'neisova v'osu l'ham tzitzis al kanfe v'gdeyim l'doroisam. So therefore, already we know that the tzitzis go on the corner. So it didn't need to repeat the word hakonof. Therefore we learn from that. Min konof, we learn from that the tzitzis have to be the same type as the corner of the garment. Meaning, in other words, if it's a woolen garment, it needs woolen tzitzis. If it's a cotton garment, it would need cotton tzitzis, and so on and so forth. It would be whatever min the konof is in is what the tzitzis should be. There is, by the way, a machlokas aposkim in that. What about, for example, what if you have a garment where the main garment is made out of one material and the corners are made out of a different one? Which one do you go according to when it comes to tzitzis? So now the Gemara is going to point out in a minute that woolen tzitzis will pop through any beged. But the question really is, what if you have, for example, a garment where most of it is made out of cloth and the corners are made out of leather, or vice versa. Leather is not chayev in tzitzis. Only garments that are made of woven material are chayev in tzitzis. And for that matter, you have an interesting machloikas, a poskim about, for example, polyester garments, whether they're chayev in tzitzis, because even though the polyester is woven, it's made of the threads and woven, but it starts out essentially as one big sheet of plastic, and therefore maybe it should be considered the equivalent of leather in that regard. Anyway, the point is that, so let's say you have a leather garment with fabric corners, or the other way around, would it be chayev in tzitzis? So you actually have, so in Shulchan Aruch it says that actually what you do is you go according to the corners. But then you have other achronim that argue that maybe not, that maybe it should go according to the main part of the bet. Anyway, the point is that the pasuk v'nosken al tzitzis hakanof implies that the tzitzis always have to be the same material as the beged or as the corners of the beged. So if it's wool, then wool. If cotton, if silk, then silk. Cotton, then cotton, and so forth. And then uchtiv semer opishtim yachdav. On the other hand, you have a pasuk. On the other hand, you have the pasuk in about shatnez, where the next pasuk after it is tzitzis, where it mentions that you can't wear semer pishtim yachdav, wool and linen together, implying that and because of the smichos with gdilim tasalacha would teach you that tzitzis can be made only out that the tzitzis strings can be made only out of wool or linen. So which is it? So v'nasam atzitz takanaf min kanaf psil techelas. Actually, the Gemara adds the word psil techelas. So the strings of techelas then would be placed together with that. Bach actually takes out those words psil techelas. Ochtiv semer pishtim yachta. But again, you have a pasuk that says that you can't wear wool and linen together, and then the next pasuk after that mentions tzitzis, implying that tzitzis are only wool or linen. So what is it? So if you have a cotton garment, do you put wool or linen tzitzis on it, or do you put cotton tzitzis on it? So he says, Haketzad. So Rava says, how do you reconcile that? It means semer pishtim koitrin bein b'minon bein shaloi b'minon. It means wool or linen tzitzis will pater a beged, whether they're the same species or not. So in other words, so you can use woolen, so whether the beged is wool, or whether the beged is cotton or silk or what have you, either way you can put wool tzitzis on it, or you can be linen tzitzis, or you can put linen tzitzis on it. So on the other hand, shamin and minon poitrin, shalom minon einon poitrin. On the other hand, when it comes to other types of fabrics, only their min will pater only them, but not others. So for example, with a cotton beged, let's say, you have two choices. You could put wool, you have three choices. You could put wool tzitzis on it, you could put linen tzitzis on it, or you can put cotton tzitzis on it. But on the other hand, if for example, cotton tzitzis will work only on a cotton beged. If you make, for example, a silk beged and put cotton tzitzis on it, no good. If you have a woolen garment and you put cotton tzitzis on it, also no good. Only woolen linen can pater even shaloi b'minon. So now we would be learning that drasha that Rava is saying from the words from the smichos of loy silva shatnez and dilim tasamacha. So in that case, then we wouldn't know from it the concept of esa deicha loy sase. So now you don't have a proof from that. So then you end up having to learn from the word roshay. So now the first braisa then would say that's why you have to learn from roshay. Esa deicha loy sase. That's why you can't learn it from gdilim, because he says from gdilim you're learning a different drasha, namely what Rava is telling us. So the Rosh explains further like this. In other words, he says that we've established therefore that the Eser of the Metzora overrides the lav of shaving your pace. If not for that, then we wouldn't actually say. So ultimately, we learn from Rosh. If it weren't for that, then the Rosh says we would have learned Rava's Drasha a little bit differently. We would have said that we would have said, for example, that that a woolen garment can only have that wool tzitzis, let's say, will only work for wool or for let's say silk. It wouldn't necessarily tell us that that you could use wool tzitzis for a linen garment, because we wouldn't yet know that eser derech halos eser. In fact, you would say that maybe not. After all, you could say that you could still make it work. Like Rava is saying that use only woolen tzitzis and use woolen tzitzis only for wool or for any other material except for linen. Now that we know that the Torah is telling us eser derech halos eser, so now we can say, which now the Gemara is going to point out soon, that this is a special eser because it doesn't apply to everybody, it doesn't apply to women, but nevertheless, at least we do see the basic concept that eser derech halos eser, therefore that allows us to say that with tzitzis also, you could conceivably put woolen tzitzis on a linen garment and be yotze, provided that there's no other way to do the mitzvah, like Rish Lakish said, namely where you're using tzitzis. So according to that Tana, therefore, you need Roshay to tell us Eser Derech Halos Eser, and if it weren't for that, you wouldn't even know the concept at all. You can't learn it from Gedilim, because he's using Gedilim for a different Derasha. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'hai Tana the Mafik L'Roshay L'Lav Greger. Well then, according to the Tana of the first Braisa, who says that Roshay is teaching us that an Eser is Docha regular Lois Eser. So what about the Ossi Eser, the Docha is Lois Eser, Ve Eser Menolon? So where would he know the case about the Eser overriding the Lois Eser and the Eser? Namely, for example, by a Nozir who's also a Metzora, and we're telling him that even though he has an Eser, even though he has an eser to grow his hair and a lois eser to not shave his hair, nevertheless the shaving of tzaras overrides that. How would we know that? It can mean that. That's how the Rosh understands it. Tosfos explains that we're talking about, for example, we have the Isurim of a Koyin, which the Gemara is going to point out. The Gemara is going to go on to point out the Isurim of a Koyin are restricted only to Koyanim, and therefore it's kind of a weaker kind of law. So not just the case of the shaving of a Nazir who's also a Metzora, but where the other examples where an Eser is Deucha, Lois Eser, and an Eser, where the Lav is weaker. Fine, the Lav may be weaker, but we still need to know how it's overridden. So according to the second Braisa, we're saying that's exactly what the word Roshay is teaching us, that even a Nozer, who's a Metzora, shaves anyway. But according to the Tana of the first Braisa, he's saying that Roshay is needed just for the regular case. A person is not even a Nozer, but he has an Isser to shave his payas, and now we're overriding that. So he learns regular Esser Dercha Lois Eser. Where is he learning that there can be a case where an Esser is Dercha Lois Eser and an Esser? The answer is a Manolan. Where did you learn that from? So the more answer is Naftalim is Connery. He would learn it from the fact that it continues by the Mitzvah that he also shaves his beard. And again, we talked about this previously, and Defnem, the Malach, Membez, about all that, about why it says Roshay and why it says Connery, and we talked about that extensively. So now we're bringing up that point again. D'tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Connery Matam Adlaimar. Now again, by the Mitzvah, it says that he shaves his head, his beard, and the rest of it, and the rest of his body. So why does it mention beard specifically? Since the Torah tells us regarding Koyanim particularly that they're not allowed to shave the corners of their beard, Yocholach Koyan Metzora Kein, you would think the same thing applies to a Koyan who became a Metzora. So again, you have a regular yid has just a lois eser, not to shave the corners of his beard. Lois sashka says pasukanecha. A koyan, in addition, has the eser of kedoshim to you, which includes what it says in the following psukim, including that he shouldn't shave his beard. So with a koyan, there's an extra eser involved. And nevertheless, so you would think then Tosfa says that maybe the gilach kol sa'oroi, maybe the saying that he shaves all of his hair would be, let's say his hair already fell out for some other reason. then. So now he can be shaving everything without being over on shaving his beard. No, Talmud Lomar is Konoi. That is why it says Konoi, that even in that case, even when he has a full beard, he still shaves it off, even though there's an essay and a lois essay involved. So therefore, so the Tana of the first Braisa will agree with that Dirosha, and he says, there you go. So you have an essay of the Mitzvah shaving is Doicha the lois essay, and the essay of the Koyan not shaving his beard.
I'm going to say that Lima is only for a Koyan.
Because the fact is that those psukim, Kedoshim to you and Prasikonim Leit Balechu are talking about Koyan. So therefore, we would say that, in other words, we would say you wouldn't need the word Zekonoi to tell us the regular case where it's a Yisrael, where it becomes a Mitzvah, because once we establish that Esa Dechaloisa said the same thing is going to be true as far as his payas and his beard, and we already learned from Roshoi that they can shave his payas, so automatically that would include his beard as well. But by the Koyan, where you have an Esa and a Loisa said, then you would need a separate limud for that, and for that you have the word Zekonoi. Well, the Gemara asks, well, then now the question becomes on the second Braisa. If we're saying that according to them, you didn't need the word roishoi for a regular lav, because that you can learn from dilim tasalacha. They learned dilim tasalacha to mean that the general concept that you can wear tzitzis that are shatnas. So they said that roishoi, the second Braisa at the top of the Amud, said that Roshay teaches you that an essay is doicha lois essay and an essay, namely the case where Nazir is a Mitzvah. So according to them then, so why do they need to learn it from Roshay? Leilach Mizkonoi, instead they can learn it from Zkonoi, like we just said. So the Gemara answers that, the Litai Mech, new, and according to your Svara that you're asking the question, then you have to ask the Kaimalan Baalma. The fact is, we know it throughout Shas. The loy osse esse v'docha is loy sese v'esse. Normally, an esse does not override a loy sese and an esse. So, on the contrary, you should argue leilach mikoyin v'dochi. On the contrary, you should learn from a koyin that it does override it. So, why do we say that an esse is not docha a loy sese and an esse? So that's the question. Why should we assume that it doesn't? Maybe we should say we have a binyan av from a koyin who's a matzora that it does override, and therefore in general throughout Chas we should say that it does override. And the fact is we're saying that not. Ella, rather, we have to answer. The reason why that's not a question is mikoyin lo yafinan. The answer is we can't really learn from a koyin. Because Malakoyan Shekane Lav Sha'ina Shava Bakolhu, because after all, the Lav of a Koyan is something that doesn't apply across the board to all the Jewish people. Therefore, you could say that that's a weaker kind of Loisese, so therefore, you would say that maybe that kind of Loisese can even be overridden together with an essay by another essay. The Avner Nezer points out a point. Why Taka should that be? Why is a law that applies to all the Jewish people more serious than one that applies only to a subset of the Jewish people? So he brings, because the idea is, you know, we have, for example, when a person is not mechuyev in a mitzvah, he can't be motzi other people. For example, a person, a cheder shoyt of a cotton, who's not chayev in shofar, can't be motzi other people, whereas somebody who is chayev can be motzi even other people, even though he himself was already yotze. So you see, in other words, that when you have, now you could say an essay that applies to everybody, or a lois essay that applies to everybody, is more stringent because everybody is a raven to each other in it, whereas something that applies only to some Jews, then we would say that we wouldn't say on it, Koi so a raven zelazek, it only applies to some of them. Anyway, the point is, so you would say the lav of a koyin is not shav of a koyin. So it doesn't apply to non-Koyanim. Even among Koyanim, it doesn't apply to their wives and daughters. Therefore, you could say that maybe it's overridden. Well, then, in that case, I will tell you, according to the Braisa that says that Roisha teaches us that Esa Deicha Loisa said Ve'ese, namely by a Nozer who's also a Mitzvah. You're asking why we don't learn from that to everywhere else. Well, you can answer the same thing. Nozer Mikoyin Nami Lo Yalef. Well, then you can't learn a Nozer from a Koyin either. Shekein Lav Sheina Shavu Bakol. Because again, the Lavim of a Koyinim are not shava bakol because they apply to only to kohenim and only to male kohenim. Whereas a nazir, in principle, anybody, a man or a woman can be a nazir. In fact, the Gemara is going to point out soon that Nazir has a different weakness, namely the fact that yesh ne b'sheela, because you can be matan neder on Nazirus, which you can't do on Kohanim.
And also, a woman cannot be a kohen.
Right, that's what we're saying. In other words, Kohuna applies only to a small subset of the Jewish people, whereas Nazirus is more, whereas Nazirus is broader. So now, in other words, Tosfos says, at this point, the Gemara could ask that, well then, fine, forget about a Koyin who's a Mitzvah, what about a regular Nazir who's a Mitzvah, why don't we learn from him? And the answer is, as the Gemara is gonna say soon, that because a Nazir is also weaker, because Yesh Nibesheva. Okay, so now let's go back. So now let's go back to the previous opinion. Now the Tana of the Braisa who says that the word Roshay refers to a regular Nazir and refers to a Nazir. That was the second Braisa that said that the word Roshay is not telling us about a regular Yid, but only about a Nazir. Because again, according to him, we know from other sources and we only need this limud to tell us that even by a Nazir. So then Lomali Zkonoi. So according to him, why do you need the word Zkonoi to tell us that it applies by a Kohen? Why can't we say that we could learn a Kohen from a Nazir? Once we say by a Nazir, Esa Doicha Loisa, Esa Ve'esa, we should say the same thing by a Kohen. So now again, the Gemara could have answered at this point and say that, By the way, Tosfos points out we were still talking within that opinion, so mandamukim is not really necessary to say. Mandamukim would be if we're going back to a different opinion, but now we're still talking within that opinion. So therefore, it should say that it should have said something like, according to him, what would he say? Anyway, why does he not learn that way? Why does he need the word zikonai? And the answer is l'chidatanya. He would say you need the word zekonoi that teaches us what it says in the braisa that we said before. Zekonoi matam adloimar. When it says zekonoi, what is that adding? We know already that the Mitzvah shaves all his hair, and we know already esa doicha loisa sefem roshoi. So l'fisha nemo fas zekonim lo yigalechu. Again, since it says by koinim that they're not allowed to shave the corners of their beard, yochol af koin Mitzvah kain, you would think the same thing is true as far as a koin who's a Mitzvah, where again he has an essay and a loisa essay to not shave his beard. Therefore the pasuk says zekonoi that even so he still shaves his beard. But then he continues. So he would use the word zekonoi to teach us that. And as the Gemara is going to point out soon, you can't learn it. You can't learn the koyin from the nazir, because as we're going to say soon, the nazir is yesh ne b'sheela. You're able to be matu neder on nazirus, which you can't on being a koyin. But first, the Braisa continues. Umanolam de Batar. How do we know that when the Mitzvah shaves when the Mitzvah shaves his hair and his beard, that he does it dafka with a tar, with a razor? And Tosfos points out, you can't just learn it from the fact that a Nazir shaves with a razor. We're there, fine. We had earlier on Dachmem, Memalef, we had where it said, because it says, Tar lo yavar aroshe ad maloise yamim, a razor is not to pass over his head until the completion of the days, implying that up until that point, he can't have a razor on his head. Fine, but the difference is, though, we learned over there in that sugya that there was an opinion that said that a nazir, in fact, would be chayev when would be chayev malchus, even if he used other things other than a razor, even if he used a cream to remove his hair, even if he used scissors or a malchus or a hitney or whatever. So therefore, according to that opinion, then we can't learn from that, and we need a different limud to know how we know that Mitzvah shaves with a razor, given that it doesn't say by him the word tach. So, Manolan de Batar, de Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when it says fast the konim lo yigalefu, when it says by the koyanim that they should not shave the corners of their beard, yochalach duchad b'misparayim yehi chayev, you would think a person is chayev even if he shaves off his beard with scissors, which don't cut all the way down to the root, but yehi chayev. Tamad Lema, therefore the Pasuk says, Veloy Sashkes, therefore by Yisrael, the Pasuk says you should not destroy the corners of your beard. The word destroying implies that you're cutting all the way down to the skin. Then E Loy Sashkes. Now, if you only have the Pasuk Loy Sashkes, Yochel Lichten Mamalkit of Rehitni Chayev, you would think that a person is Chayev even if he removes the hair with a Malkit or Rehitni, which we talked about there on Dachmem Mem Aleph, or various kinds of tools that are used for removing hair. A malkit might be tweezers, or it might be a rehitni might be a plane that you use like for smoothing out wood, or they might be different other things like that that get the hair all the way down to the root. So you would think, because after all, there you have a shrosa. So Talmud Loimer, Ufas Tzikonim, Lo Yigalechu, therefore we have to go back to the Koyanim where it says the word Lo Yigalechu, they should not shave, and that implies that they're not allowed to use something which is normally used for shaving. So therefore, so by combining the two things together, on the one hand, by the Yisrael, it says Lo Yisashnis, and by the Koyan, it says Lo Yigalechu, so we learn that they're actually the same thing. What kind of procedure is Giluach? It's a normal thing to use for shaving, and it involves Hashkasa. Scissors is Giluach, but not Hashkasa. Malkit or Rehitni is Hashkasa, but not Giluach, which is the only one that is both. Have M is a tar, so you have to say that it's a razor. So once we've established, based on this last braisa, that the isser of ashkosas zokin, the isser of shaving the beard, is only when you're using a razor, so now we're saying that if the pasuk is implying, if the pasuk is telling us with the words zakonai, that you override the normal isser of shaving the beard for a mitzoro, even we said for a mitzoro who's a koyin, even though he has an Esa and a Lois Esa, automatically that means that the shaving has to be done with a razor. Otherwise, you could use a Malkit or a Hitni, and you wouldn't be Chayev, and you'd still be Makayim Mitzvah. So we said they can be tweezers, they can be a plane, they can be different other kinds of instruments that are used to remove hair all the way down to the root, but they don't actually they're not normally used for that purpose. A person doesn't normally tweeze and remove all his hair, and therefore that's not included in Lo Yigalef. There's a couple of different explanations. Rashi elsewhere explains that a malkit is something more like a penknife. Whatever the case, the point is these are things that can be used for ashkasa, but they're not normally used for it, and therefore they're not included in Gilurah. So the point is, in other words, therefore, so we're learning for, so because the Torah has to give us a heter for the Koyan, who's a Mitzorah, to shave, that alone implies that the shaving his beard has to be done with a razor. Otherwise, there would be a way to accomplish it without being over on the Issur, and the Torah wouldn't have to tell us that you're able to do that. In fact, earlier in the Gemara, back on Daf Mem, when we started discussing this point, the Gemara thought to learn the Mitzorah from the Nazir or from the Levium, by both of them it says Tar, and we said that no, it doesn't really work because the Levium had a special thing that had to be picked up and waved, and then the Nazir has to bring Korbanus together with bread. So therefore we end up having to have a separate limud for the Mitzvah, and this is one of the ways of learning it. So according to that Tana, that is why we need the word zakonai, because without the word zakonai, you wouldn't even know the concept that the Mitzvah used the razor to shave his beard. You would have thought he could use something else. So we're using the word zakonai basically for that. Because the Braisa learns this from the Kohen, Therefore, the Tana of the Udi or Braisa doesn't find the need to mention that you could learn it from a Nazir instead, because the Braisa that we just quoted is saying how we learn it from a Kohen, from the fact that that you have the dinim of shaving the beard that it says by Yisrael versus that it says by a Kohenim, and by combining the two psukim together, we learn what's allowed and what's not allowed. So therefore, so we're learning it that way. So, in fact, Tosfos points out that the Gemara could say. On the other hand, you know, the fact is that mitzvah of shaving the beard is not shava bakol either, because women don't have that mitzvah. But at this point, the Gemara is assuming, fine, that may be true, but on the other hand, sometimes you have something called shkulim hay. You have two possibilities that are equally weighted one way or the other. You learn from the koyin. On the other hand, you could argue the koyin is not shavu b'kol. You could learn from zikonoi, and say that it's mutter. On the other hand, zikonoi itself is not shavu b'kol either, because women are not chayim in it. So therefore, you wind up saying that in fact what you're saying is you are also to shave zikonoi, but nevertheless you're overriding it even for a koyin because he's a mitzvah, because this is a case where an esser is doicha loisasa and an esser. So we would learn it that way. Fine. Now the Gemara says, now going back to the first braisa at the beginning of the Sugya, where we said that we had one Tana who learned from the word roshay, the basic fact that even that a person shaves his hair, payas and all, when he's a mitzvah, forgetting about whether he's a nozer or a koyan or anything like that. We learned that. We use the word Rosha just to tell us that Esther did for Lois Esther. And again, we said that Tana cannot learn that concept from Dilim Tasimacha, because he uses that for a different Joshua. So you have to ask, according to him, Lomali the Michtav Rosha, but Lomali the Michtav Zkonim. So according to him, why does it need to say Rosha and Zkonim separate? Why does it need to say Rosha and Zkonim separately? Because the answer is mashma l'midche lav greda. Because on the one hand we have since after all by mitzvah the Torah is telling us everybody has to shave, and whether it's a koyin or not. Mashma l'midche lav greda. So on the one hand the pasuk can be implying that it overrides only a lav by Yisrael. Or mashma l'midche loisas eveseh. On the other hand, you could equally well say that it means that it's doicha the loisas and the eseh that apply to the koyanim. Hilchah shokol hu. So therefore, again, you have this example of shkulim where they're both equal. The avoy shneihem, and therefore you can actually learn both of them that. So the question would be then, why do we need the word zekonoi? So you're telling me Roshoy is teaching us that an essay is doicha loisase. You're going to tell me zekonoi teaches us that it's doicha loisase the essay, but from Roshoy alone you should know that, because Roshoy alone should apply equally well to a koyin or a Yisrael. And if you're telling me the other way around, the word zikonoi, again, we're saying the word zikonoi can equally well mean a Yisrael who has just a loises and not to shave his beard. It can also include equally well a koyin who has an esse and a loises and to shave his beard. There's no reason to think that it means one more than the other, because after all, by the posik, by the mitzvah, it just says zikonoi in general, that he shaves his beard. So we would automatically assume that it means both of them. So now, what do you need the word roshay then for? What is the word of the limit from the word roshay adding? And the answer is, meaning, in other words, usually you have, we can't do two ribuyim from one posit, but where you have, that's when there's more logic to include one more than the other. But when you have shneim shkulim, when they're both equal, there's no particular logic to prefer one over the other, then we can say the Torah is implying that you should, in fact, be married by both of them. So the answer is, koyin min nozir lo yalif. The answer is you can't learn the koyin from the nozir. Shekein yeshne b'sheilam, because after all, the yisurim of a nozir in a way are weaker because he can be matir neder on his nazirus. Nozir be koyin lo yalif, and vice versa, he's going to say you can't learn a nozir from a koyin. Shekein lav she'ina shavu b'kol, because again, the yisurim of a koyin don't apply equally to everybody. Because it only applies to koyanim and only to male koyanim. So therefore, he would say you actually need two limudim, because otherwise you wouldn't have learned one from the other. By the way, now the Rambam has a different understanding why it is. We mentioned this before. Why it is by a nazir that he, when he's a mitzvah, that he shaves even though he has an esse and a lois esse. And the Rambam says the reason is basically because his nazirus, the kedusha of his nazirus, is suspended as long as he's a mitzvah, and therefore he doesn't have the esse. It's only a lois esse. So Mephoshim deal with why the Rambam needs to say that. And in fact, the Raivan asks on the Rambam that flatly goes against the Gemara over here. The Gemara over here is saying that it would be an esse and a lois esse, and just for saying this is an exception to the rule. So Mephoshim explained one point is that the Rambam's reason is needed for cases of nazir where you can't be matir neder. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you have nazirus shimshin, where a person is going to become a nazir like shimshin, and we learned there that there's no hatoris nedarim possible for it. Because in Shimshon's original case, it wasn't something that he took on voluntarily. It was something that the Malach told his parents to do, and then his parents told him to do that. So we see that you can't be matir neder. So the Rambam's reason, so the Gemara's reason over here that Nazir is Yeshne B'Sheila wouldn't work for Nazir Shimshon, and therefore the Rambam gives a different reason.
But if the Shimshon was a separate, that most people don't have it.
Most people don't have that, but nevertheless, if a person takes on, if a person says, I will be a Nazir like Shimshon, then that means that he can't be Matzah Neder yet. So this Tana would say that you actually need two separate Memodim, one for a Koyan and one for a Nazir. And furthermore, you can't learn from them to other places in the Torah and say that in general that an Esser should be Doicha, a Lav, and an Esser. Kidam Moron, because like we said, each one has something weaker about it, one that it's not Shava Bakol, and the other that it's Yeshne B'Sheva. Tosfos deals in some detail with what the Gemara's question is, why you need the two different limudim. You could say, you know what, you need the limud by a koyin anyway, because again, without the words of fasikonim lo yigalechu, you wouldn't know the whole concept that shaving the beard is also only with a razor, because again, lo yigalechu is what tells us that it's a razor. Otherwise, you would think a malkut and rehitni would also be chayev, and you need it to tell us that a mitzvah needs to do that. So because of that and some other questions, Tosfos says that what we're saying is once we establish that Sekhona teaches us the concept that a mitzvah shaves with a razor, so now if we say going back to Rosho that it means that it's only overriding a plain lav, how indeed do we know that a nazir mitzvah or a kohen mitzvah should shave at all? So therefore, the Gemara is explaining, in other words, that we have psukim that tell us that we have Roshay and Zakonah, and we're saying again that we learn from Roshay the basic fact that from Roshay alone we'll learn that even a Nazir Mitzvah does that. But even so, Zakonah wouldn't be good enough to learn that, and therefore we wind up needing all the Drashas. So now, Tosfos asks another point, which is, what is the Gemara saying at the end? We're saying, Koyan has a weakness because it's Ein Shava Bakol. Nazir has a weakness because Yeshne B'Sheima. Therefore, you can't learn one from the other, according to this Mandomer. And therefore, you can't learn from there to everywhere else. What happened to Mahatzad? The Gemara often does that you can learn from Sada Shava. Yeah, so why don't we do that over here? We should say that you're going to try to learn from a Koyan. You can't because it's not Shava Bakol. So you're going to say Nozir Yechiyach instead of prove from a Nozir where it is Shava Bakol. You're going to say a Nozir not because Yeshin B'Sheil. You're going to say Koyan Yechiyach for Chozu Adin, Loibi Zekir Yizeh, as the Gemara often does. And then you could learn from them to other things. So Tosfos' answer is that actually no, because by the Mitzvah, the fact is, one thing that you have during the 7 days between the Mitzvah's two shavings, he's not allowed to be together with his wife. When the pasuk says, the Yoshav Mishchutz La'Ohaloi Shivas Yomim, he has to stay outside his tent for 7 days, and the Gemara explains that Ohaloi means his wife, so he's not allowed to be with his wife during those 7 days. So therefore the shaving of the mitzvah accomplishes shavim bayis, and therefore you can't necessarily derive from that So therefore, you could say because of shalom bias, the Torah is making an exception and saying esed b'chaloisa. But you can't necessarily learn from that to other places in the Torah where you don't have that consideration. So that's where we leave it. So again, so we have a couple of different ways of learning depending on the different mandamos, but we wind up saying that
you need both.
You need Roshe and Skone for different Diroshes, and we wind up saying that yes, the rule is Esser de Chalois Esser. According to one possibility, we learn it from Kilayim and Tzitzis. According to the other possibility, we learn it from the fact that a Metzora shaves his hair, every Payas included. Then we say that even when it's a Nozer Metzora, even when it's a Koyin Metzora, where there's an Esser and a Lois Esser involved in him shaving his beard, nevertheless, he still does that. And so we see that in that case, Esser is going for Lois Esser, the Esser, and the same thing would apply to a Nozer who became, Metzora. But in the end, we said that all of this is based on the idea that we'd say Hakafas Kolorosh, Shma Hakafa, that not only shaving the payas alone is also, but even shaving the whole hair, the whole head with the payas is also equally also. You shouldn't think that the issur is only loisakifu, not to round the corners of the head, meaning as long as there's no rounding because all the hair is gone, then it's mutter. No, we're saying that both braises agree that Hakafas Kolorosh, Shma Hakafa, a person would be chayav for shaving his payas together with the rest of his hair. And that, in fact, is the halacha. So it's not just you can't shave the payas and leave the rest of the hair. You can't shave the payas and the rest of the hair either. Okay. So now, having discussed this whole matter of shaving with a razor and shaving the hair and shaving the beard and whatever, so now the Gemara is going to digress, and we'll learn about this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, about the related topic of the related topic of shaving body hair. Is a man allowed to do that? We know, after all, the Torah tells us, well, Yovash Gever, that a man is not allowed to dress or beautify himself like a woman, or vice versa. So what are the dinim as far as that, as far as body hair? So the Gemara is going to digress, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.